Utah, I would like to introduce you to some of the visual artists of our area. There are so many of us with really interesting stories about our creations and so few opportunities to be heard. I hope I can convince many of you to visit with me on the air. This Pioneer 90.1 radio interview is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I have with me today Judy Sorum, who does stained glass mosaics. Judy, what can you tell us about yourself?
Well, I grew up in Rosewood, Minnesota, which is about 10 miles northwest of Thief River, very tiny, tiny little town. I have four siblings, and I went to country school for 6 years, and then rode the bus into Lincoln for 6 years and graduated from town here. And I've lived in Thief River just about all my life, and it's a great place to live. My mother was very much into crafts and things like that. She crocheted and knit all her life. She'd make little cute little things and set up a booth uptown on Farmer's Market and mm-hmm. made a little extra money for herself. Mm-hmm. And so all of my family has always done something like that, and I think I kind of inherited it.
How did you get started with your stained glass?
Well, that's a neat story. My daughter, oldest daughter, Lisa, who is now a mosaic artist in Minneapolis, and she was the one who did all the big stained glass the mosaics out at the Challenger. She worked with all the kids out there. Well, a few years ago, she called me in, and she said, "Mom, I've got a new craft to show you when I come home. I can't wait to show it to you," because we were always trading crafts and artistic ideas back and forth. So she came at Christmas time with this little batch of stained glass and some clay pots, and we proceeded to make this little clay pot. And I thought, well, I don't know if I really like this so much. I don't know if I'll get into this. Well, pretty soon I made another clay pot and another, and it's just kept going from there. I made a lot of regular mosaics on a wood and whatever, but then I got into the stained glass on the picture frame, so it's glass on glass, and that's really where I am right now.
Well, I met you at a craft fair downtown in the park, and you had many different pieces set out on the table there. And I just fell in love with the one that had the flowers, the irises, and they were moccasin flowers, I think, yes. And it has a border around the outside edge of mosaic square tiles, and it is just a delightful piece.
Well, thank you.
Where do you get your inspiration for your ideas?
Well, sometimes I just get my frame ready and I just start cutting glass, and all of a sudden it just kind of grows, and before I know it I have this vase and I have some flowers and some, so it, a lot of it just comes from as I'm working. But then I used to do watercolors too, and so a lot of my watercolor ideas I have transformed into mosaics. So that means I already have the drawings, and I just go upstairs, go through all my watercolor drawings, and take it down and apply it to my my stained glass. In a way, you know, the colors with watercolors, they're really vibrant and pretty too. And it's the same way with stained glass. The colors are so great. I mean, there's just no end to the variations of colors and the brightness and the prettiness of it.
Mm-hmm. You're gorgeous. I love, it's propped in my window, and I love seeing the light come through the glass. And even at night when there's no light coming through the glass, they have a sheen to the top, and some have unexpected pearlescent colors and just all sorts of unexpected colors too.
That's very true. And one thing about living here, there is no place in Thief River, of course, where you can buy stained glass, but I found Hobby Lobby in Fargo. I get some of it there, but you don't find a real big variation. You know, it's pretty much the same every time you go, but they do have really nice greens and blues. But I was so lucky. I did the wine walk, art and wine walk in Grand Forks last summer. And that was just wonderful. I met so many interesting people, and I sold a lot of pieces. But anyway, this young girl came through, and she said, asked me if I could make use of some pieces of stained glass, because her father used to work with stained glass, and wonderful. He had given her all these pieces. So I said, oh, I'd love it. You know, mm-hmm. When can I pick them up? She uh-huh. said, well, just give me a call after the show today. So I went over there, and I think there were 12 plastic totes full of stained glass.
Wow.
Every color and imaginable. So I really haven't had to buy a whole lot of stained glass
wonderful,
since.
Wonderful. How about explaining the process of what you go through from the time you get a design idea till you finish?
Well, the first thing I do is prepare the frame. And I glue the glass onto the frame.
Now this is a background piece of glass, right?
Yes, a background piece of glass. I glue it into the frame, and then I use some grout around it too to make sure it's secure, so you don't have to worry about it falling out or accidentally getting pushed out if you bump it. That's the number one. And then, of course, that process, everything has to dry. The glue has to dry and everything. And then the next process is deciding what you're going to make, if it's flowers and things like that. Sometimes, I just start cutting and do it, whatever I end up with. Otherwise, I have a pattern, and I have the pattern taped on the back of the glass so I can follow it. My biggest problem is sometimes I don't design the colors real well. I just start. You know, you're better off, I guess, if you'd kind of pick out all your colors and make sure everything was coordinated. But sometimes it's kind of fun to have a surprise too.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you get all your pieces all laid out and everything, the next thing is every piece has to be glued. And there's different kinds of glue. There's weld bond, which is really, really good if you're using more of a opaque piece of glass. But if you're using more of a transparent, then I like to use weld bond Lexol, because it dries clearer. Sometimes weld bond has a tendency to get a little cloudy. So that's the next step. And then, of course,
can you get those two glues here in town?
Yes, you can. Ace is the place.
All right.
They usually have most every kind of glue you would ever want. Anyway, then after you get it glued, there's a drying process. So you have to let it dry for at least 24 hours. When I use Lexol, I usually let it dry for about 48 hours because that takes a little longer. Then the next step is the grouting. And the first thing I do is put masking tape on the frame to protect the frame, because once you get the grout on there, the frame can get kind of marked up a little bit. You mix the grout, and it's just your regular bathroom grout. You can get it I usually get mine at Menards, or you can get it at the lumber yard, I'm sure. And you mix it to the consistency of a brownie batter. And then you put that over the whole thing, over the glass and the whole works, but you make sure that you work it in good so it fills in all the crevices. And you always want to leave a little opening between all of your glass pieces so that the grout goes in between all of your pieces. And you keep working it in and working it in, make sure that there's no holes. So I always hold mine up to the light, and if I see any light through there, then I always make sure that I rub the grout really good and get it worked in there. And then I usually let that sit for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then the hard work comes. All the grout has to be, of course, wiped off, and it takes a lot of elbow work to get that grout all off and make sure that your glass is nice and clean. And I've got a little buffer, it's called, that I buff it, and it takes off the last residue of the grout. And then when you get that all done, then that's pretty much, it's pretty much all set.
Well, what if you got all done and then you noticed there was a slice of light coming between two pieces, the tiny bit? What would you do about that?
Well, most of the time, I read in a book once, it said, with the grout colors, if in doubt, use gray. So I use the same color, 90% of the time, I would say. So I can just, you know, mix up a tiny bit of gray grout, and if it's within an hour or so, there's always a little bit of grout left over, so then I can go back with it, you know, and fill it in. And I also found in the internet a light box, which is really neat. It helps too. You can lay your piece on the light box, and then you can see if there's any light coming through. And it also works really nice for laying your pieces on to see whether or not they coordinate really good, because especially when you're working with purples, there are so many shades of purples, and they may not all go together. But anyway, I got off the track. The light box is under the bed tote box, a clear one, mm-hmm. almost clear. Mm-hmm. And then one of those under counter lights that you put in the tote box, and the tote box is then upside down, so the light shines through. You lay your glass or whatever on the tote box, and it just shows off your glass so nicely. As a matter of fact, I had it with when I did the art walk in Grand Forks, so when people came in, I would have mosaic pieces on the light box where people could really see what they would look like in the light. So that's been a really handy little tool for me to use. Mm-hmm.
Have you sold many of your works?
Yes, actually, I have sold quite a few, but I still have a basement full. I make them faster than I sell them, but I sold quite a few at the Art Walk. I've done Farmer's Market. I mm-hmm. did that for 2 or 3 years where I sold some. Right now, I have them at the Wired Bean. I've had them there quite a while, which I really appreciate. It's mm-hmm. just a wonderful place
yes,
to have
is.
Them
yes,
because the windows are just perfect mm-hmm. for
I've
display.
Seen them there. Mm-hmm.
So I sold quite a few this over Christmas, mm-hmm. and so that really helps too. It kind of helps me afford my habit.
Yeah, right. I think of you mentioning having them all around your house. I think that is a disease that we all artists have, is where we keep stuffing our homes full of our artworks, and which closet are you going to invade next with putting your art pieces in? I run the same problem.
Well, at least there I'm lucky I have a big basement that I've kind of overtaken, so a lot of it is just stored down in the basement. My husband has been really supportive of me too. He is behind me. He always comes down in the mornings. I'm an early riser, so I go down in mosaic at start about 6:30 in the morning, and then we go for a walk at 8:30. So I have probably usually 2 hours in the morning that I mosaic. But my husband always comes down, and he'll tell me whether he likes it or if he doesn't. But he's got really good perspective where he'll say, you know, I don't think you have the right perspective on that piece. And I really appreciate that. It's nice to get someone else's thoughts and ideas on it.
Where would you like to show your work? Where else besides the Wired Bean?
Oh, you know, there's another place in Grand Forks that I've tried to contact, but so far I haven't been able to. But it's kind of the same thing as the Wired Bean, with beautiful big windows all the way around, and that would be nice. And I did look into Fargo too, but I'm not very good about getting out there and promoting myself. I'd rather sit in the basement and make rather than the rest of it.
Yes, that's common. Have you ever exhibited in the Northwest Regional Arts Council?
Yes,
show?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact, in Crookston. I think that was not last year, but the year before I did, and I actually sold a piece there. That was really interesting. I'd forgotten about that. Thanks for reminding me.
I try to get something in that show every year, too. Usually I've been putting in woodcuts, but...
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you paint, too, right?
Not recently, but I have done a lot of painting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What piece are you working on right now?
Right now, I am working on a piece. I'm not sure if I'm happy with it or not, though. So when I go home today, I think I'm going to do a little different arrangement. I'm making a border around the three. Tier border around the bottom, and then around this one border or one row around the side top and down the other side. But I mixed some colors, and I got to thinking, I think I would like it better if it were just all one color, and then I've made flowers in kind of a neutral shades, and then the green stems and everything. But it's usually the background. That's the part that it's hard to know sometimes what color to put in, and it's very time-consuming, too, to cut all the little pieces and make sure they all fit into all the crevices and corners.
A while back, you were saying that you started off with your frame. Do you collect frames, then, from rummage sales and all around?
Yes, I certainly do. I bring more home, and my husband says, "Don't you think you have enough now?"
I do the same thing with my woodcuts. I do it backwards. I get my frame that has the mat in it that I bought economically someplace, rummage sale or a yard sale, and then I have my board cut to fit that space so that when I get done, I don't have to find a carpenter or somebody that will make a frame for me. So I've discovered this business of starting with the frame first, and I'm sure it's not something most artists do, but it's the practical way to go.
Oh, it absolutely is, and it's an economical way to go too. And I don't know if you're like I am, but like I say, it's something I do every day. So I end up making a lot of mosaics, and if I had to put a lot of money into the frames and all of these other things, I wouldn't feel that I could do that, especially if they ended up being stored in my basement for any length of time. But this way, there's you know, I can just keep on doing it as much as I want, and that's what I like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see here. Do you use photography at all to collect ideas?
Not really. I can't say that I do. I look through magazines and look for ideas that way, or look for a new flower. I'll go on the internet and look for some new different flowers. Or one day I looked at my tablecloth, and it had a plastic tablecloth, and it had some beautiful rose designs on it. I thought, wow, that would make a really nice mosaic rose. So I did trace that. Usually I do everything freehand, but I did trace that rose because it had all the petals and everything just right. So there's so many different ways and different ideas you can come up with.
Can you actually cut that piece of glass to exactly the shape you want? Or do you have to kind of be happy with how it turns out?
Well, actually, I have a grinder. It's called a glass grinder. And so I cut it to basically as close to the shape I need as possible, and then I can use my glass grinder to take off any edges that I don't want, or to round an edge, and that is just wonderful. It's the neatest little tool because it's got a diamond grinder, and you put water in a little holder, so it keeps the grinder wet. And it just works wonderfully. I also forgot to tell about a Mr. Filer that called me from the Wired Bean one day. And he's from Carlstead, and he asked me if I wanted a box of pieces of stained glass. He said he worked with stained glass, but he could no longer work with the small pieces, and he would love to give them to me. And I said, oh, that would be just wonderful. So 3-4 weeks later, I got a call one day, and him and his wife were at the Wired Bean, so I went down and met them and visited with them for about a half hour, and he gave me this box of stained glass, so I went home and got them all sorted out into colors, and that's really exciting, too. Put all the reds in one pile and all the blues in a pile, mm-hmm. and then put them in my basement and have them all ready to use. So that was really a very nice surprise, and he, like I say, he was very interesting to talk with.
You said you had a trip with your husband to Spain, and you saw some interesting things there. Why don't you describe those?
Oh, yes. We were going on a cruise, so we flew into Barcelona and spent 2 days there. And we went to, I can't even remember the name, but it was, Gaudi was the name of the artist, I believe. And we went to this place where there were mosaics. And this wasn't stained glass mosaics. These were regular mosaics where it was, I mean, just went on and on for, buildings with the ceilings all mosaiced and just wonderful things. I wanted to stay all day, but the rest of my travelers said, no, I don't think we can do that. But that was very, very interesting. Of course, my daughter is also very supportive of my work too. She calls me on Skype or on the iPad, and we talk and exchange ideas and what we're working on right now and some new idea we've got. And she always keeps me up on the latest tools, and she's great at bringing me little presents. Like one time she came and she had a glass engraver for me, so now I can sign the back of all of my mosaics with that little glass engraver. But she just really gives me encouragement and helps me along the way, gives me ideas, and so that's really nice.
Well, thank you, Judy. I appreciate visiting with you, and we'll look for you in the park again this summer and see what you've been doing. This is Pat Ladine Dunning with Happy Talk.